the fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Opinionated and proud of it. This is Brady and Lang in the morning. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
To Brady and Lang on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Greg Brady, Jim Lang, Mike Farwell. Of course, we've got Jeff Samet in for Jeff Blair next. Alex Anthopoulos in 17 minutes at 8:20. Bobby Holik, 17 plus 20. 37 minutes at 8:40 or so. HolikOnHockey.com, the website. His Twitter avatar still has him shooting a gun. We got to get to Bobby about that. It's a violent, violent man. He was vicious with a stick, just like Joel Ward. Maybe, just more timely.
Well, have you seen the picture of David Booth, the bear he shot? Once the Canucks got knocked out, he went hunting, and what was a massive, like, what, 10-foot bear or something he shot? And that was his Twitter pic.
What's up with that? What's up with hockey guys and hunting? Mike Babcock goes deep into the woods and kills, like, large animals with his bare hands.
Are you kidding?
Brian Burke hunts, right?
He doesn't use a gun, Babcock?
Don't Burke and Nonis go... No, it's not just fishing. I think Burke and Nonis go hunting together. I'm pretty sure.
I think you're probably right, yeah.
It's a little like when Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson went on that hunt in Wedding Crashers. Like, you know, you're picking the shrapnel out of your backside. So Alex Anthopoulos coming up at 8:20. Very excited to have our next guest on. He's been, for the last three seasons, the Buffalo Bills' leading rusher and justly rewarded with a fresh new two-year contract extension, potentially worth $9 million. Joining us on Brady and Lang, Buffalo Bills running back, Fred Jackson. Fred, it's great to have you on again. How are you? Congratulations on the deal.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm doing pretty good.
Nice to get it done, I'm sure. Were you worried with the season-ending injury last year in the Dolphins game? I mean, it has to go through your head. Everybody's own financial security does at some point. Man, really bad timing, and the Bills won't be loyal, but good thing you've been loyal to them, and they were loyal to you through this.
Yep. I mean, Buddy Nix has been a man of his word since I've known him, so he came through, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So, I mean, that's just a tribute to how, you know, he's done business, and, you know, I think a lot of people can respect him for that.
Despite the new contract, Fred, are you still taking the mindset when you step on the practice field or in a game that you're that undrafted free agent from Cole College trying to prove yourself?
Without a doubt. You know, that's what got me to where I am today, and, you know, that's how I'll continue to play. You know, it's always been, you know, me against the world, so to speak. You know, a lot of people telling me I couldn't do it, and I mean, there'll be different challenges this year. You know, you'll start to hear that he's 31 and he should really start, you know, slowing down, and he's coming off a season-ending leg injury. Will he be the same? And, you know, it'll be things like that, you know, motivate me. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'll be ready to go 100%.
Fred Jackson, our guest, probably the Bills' first half MVP last season through everything. Did you feel, though, the season, it was starting to get away from you guys a little bit? You get injured, and then it really went off the rails. The team lost four of the next five games. What did you feel in terms of it slipping somewhat? And do you feel like if you'd have stayed healthy, there might have been an extra win or two in there? But it was really hard for this team to do much offensively after you got injured.
You know, that was just another challenge for us. You know, things didn't go the way we wanted them to. You know, we had a couple of key injuries. We lost some good players. And anytime you do that, it makes it hard to win some football games. So hopefully we can stay healthy this year. And, you know, even with the injuries we got last year, we had a lot of guys get some more experience. So that definitely helped us. But, you know, it was tough to watch and not be out there and help my teammates. And hopefully I never have to do it again, because it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And I'm looking forward to getting back out there, and, you know, hopefully we can keep things rolling and get to the playoffs like we, you know, we all want to.
What's excited you the most this offseason, Fred? Is it the draft that Buddy Nix had, a very good draft, locking up all the guys to contracts, or the great free agent signings like Mario Williams?
I think it's a combination of all of them. You know, it's all something that needs to be done, you know, to get us over that hump and to the next level. So I think everything that they've done up in the front office is added some key pieces for us to, you know, take it to the next level. And, you know, I'm excited about it. And, you know, a lot of guys in that, if not all the guys in that locker room are excited about it. And, you know, it's put a buzz in the fans' ears, and, you know, they're all excited about it. So we're looking forward to getting back out there. We know we have to play football, and, you know, we have to play well, but we like a lot of things that have been done for us, so we're looking forward to it.
Fred Jackson, our guest on Brady Lang. One more on the money issue, and I bring this up. We played a clip earlier. Terrell Owens, former teammate of yours, is on Dr. Phil today. Okay, so he's in this scenario. He's made some mistakes financially. I don't want to get personal with you, but I want to ask you, how many times does a pro athlete have to say no? And I mean that meaning financial scams. Guy says, you should invest in my restaurant, invest in this aquarium, invest in this, invest in that. It, you know, taking care of the people around you, the people that love you, that's priority one. But how many times do you and your agent just have to say, man, you know, give it up. It's not happening. We're not doing this.
Every day, you know, yeah? it's part of everyday life. But, you know, that's the best thing about it is you can surround, you know, good people around yourself and let them make the decisions for you. Granted, you have to find, you know, great people to do that. But that's the thing about it. We have a great NFLPA that will help you find those type of people now. So, but it's an everyday question that you get.
Wow. Maybe, Fred, the fact that it took you a while to get this kind of deal and you have a wife and a couple young kids, maybe it prevents you from blowing all that money as a younger player?
Yeah, you know, and that's definitely something, you know, to think about. You know, you try and, as an older player, you try and tell guys, you know, what type of holes to be, you know, aware of and what type of people to surround yourself with. So, again, our NFLPA is doing Players Association is doing a great job, you know, advising a lot of kids now and telling them how, you know, to manage their money. And I think as long as they continue to educate guys, you know, we won't have to deal with stories like that anymore.
When the Bills acquire a guy like Mario Williams on the defensive side of the ball, what's it do for an offense? Obviously, the best thing for an offense is to get the ball in great field position. A guy that can create negative yards like Mario Williams can, along with Marcell Dareus up front, that can only be a good thing for where you guys, you know, take the field first and 10 all the time.
Exactly. You know, he's a great guy to add to the defense. And, you know, offensive players like myself get excited about that too because he's going to create a lot of three and outs, you know, along with, you know, an improving defense. You know, you get Kyle Williams back to help, you know, on the inside, and you get Merriman back healthy. And, you know, they added Mark on the other side, you know. So we're excited about it. You know, as an offensive player, I know it's going to give us more opportunities to have football. So he's going to go out there and create some three and outs for us. So I'm excited to see what our defense does this year. You know, they'll do some things to give us the ball more as an offensive unit, and we feel like as an offense, the more times we have the ball, the more points we're able to put up.
Ryan Fitzpatrick made you a real integral part of the passing game last year, more than just a running back. Fred, is that something you think Bills fans can expect more of, him getting you the ball through the air?
That's the plan. You know, I've always prided myself on being able to catch the ball out of the backfield and, you know, run routes when I have to. And, you know, that's something that Fitz, you know, trusts me to do. He will do whatever he can to put the ball in anybody's hands to make plays for him. So, hopefully I can continue to pick up where I left off last year and continue to make plays for him in the passing game as well.
All right, you guys start the season in New York against the Jets. We wish you luck. Everybody's going to be chanting Tebow's name. They're not booing you guys. They're just chanting Tebow in New York. So you're ready for that.
I am. You know, it's going to be Tebow mania up there.
We appreciate you doing this, Fred. Congrats on the deal, and thanks very much. Have a good mini camp. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There's Fred Jackson joining us, signs a two-year, $9 million extension. Someone brought something up the other day. Let me get your read on this, Jim. The idea of not practicing in the off season, and certainly not with pads. Why do you think this is necessary? Went through all last year, and there weren't mandatory workouts. There weren't, you know, voluntary workouts, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that are mandatory. And we all thought, hey, maybe the football will be a bit sloppy. Shorter preseason, no camps. I didn't notice it. A lot of people didn't notice it. Why do this? Given we were talking about this with Seau and how the body just wears down. Why should players, we don't have hockey teams practicing in July getting ready for the next season.
I think what they do now in the mini camps is more mental reps. No one's hit, but it's trying to put in their head when they say, Fred Jackson say, okay, this year we're going to have a specific passing play for you. So by the time the season happens and Fitzpatrick calls it, he doesn't even have to think. He knows exactly where to be in the field. If Fitzpatrick is even thrown to a spot, he knows he's going to be there. the CBA for the NFL now has really reduced the amount of times that even a coach can force them to practice with pads on.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think they realize these players just physically can't take the pounding in practice, then do it in the game, then expect to play 16 games. It's too much.
There's always talk about the training camp conditions. I remember covering the Lions in camp the day I was at a camp and it was deathly hot and my cell phone rang. I don't think I was getting texts then. And you found out Corey Stringer died at the Vikings camp the same day. And you're going, I can see it. These guys are in pads and they're hitting and it's two practices a day in late July and it's 35 degrees Celsius out. But besides that, it's great. And you're talking about a 300-pound man who doesn't – these guys aren't stopping to drink water. They're going full out.
I know the Bills, what Chan Gailey does is if they have two practices, one will be pads and one just shorts and a T-shirt, and they're just running kind of walkthroughs and just getting mental reps because a quarterback and receiver, they don't need pads on to practice throwing and catching. They just run out and you can just throw the ball and the guy can catch it. So I think coaches have gotten smarter just because of that. I mean, if you have an offensive lineman that have evolved to 330 pounds in 100-degree heat in pads, something's going to happen. I mean, the body can only push so hard, then the heart will give out.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I don't know if it's all necessary. If everyone has the same rules, I get it if 31 other teams are doing it, that you need to do it too. But if nobody does anything in April and May and everyone just happens to show up at July 15th, would that be so wrong? Would that hurt anybody?
The players would vote for it right now.
Totally.
They maybe should have,
but they just had a chance, among all the other things. They got rid of the 18-game season idea, but they didn't do much in terms of pushing, the agenda to make the practice conditions better, and especially the year-round ones.
A lot of the coaches are still sour that the players got the concessions. They don't have to practice hardly in pads at all during the season.
When you say concessions, I just get hungry. I just want to go and
hot
get a chicken fingers combo or get that burger that the Jays have. Also, real quick on the salary cap, Ross Tucker brought this up yesterday. Jim Irsay's been letting Andrew Luck, or was planning on it, use Jim Irsay's private plane. He was going to go across the country, do some workouts, do some traveling and whatnot. And Ross Tucker made a great point. Mike Florio wrote about it on ProFootballTalk.com. Isn't this a circumvention of the salary cap?
Technically, it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For him to be able to do this. The league's not commenting on it right now. And someone say, what's the big deal? He's got to get from point A to point B. Well, where's it stop? If Jim Irsay bought Andrew Luck a condominium, he can't do that. If he rented out an apartment building to Drew Stanton, Andrew Luck's backup, you can't do that either.
I think he's more than capable of booking a commercial flight from Stanford to Indianapolis. I think Andrew Luck is not at the point now. He still can fly with us unwashed masses on a plane and on Delta and get there.
Does Farwell use the Kitchener Rangers bus to come in? That would be a circumvention of his cap for junior hockey announcers. And he's in the top bracket anyway.
I'm surprised you don't have that clause yet, right?
I'm trying to keep costs here under control, under the cap. So sometimes I may have to borrow the odd bus.
I mean, the cap, Kitchener is, I don't think they have a cap for their broadcast team.
It's obvious. I mean, look at them.
Compared to Sudbury and Kingston, have you heard? Anyway, it's Brady and Lang, Alex Anthopoulos next. Rush is coming to the Air Canada Center October 14th. And Sportsnet 590, the fans got your chance to win tickets to the show before they go on sale. Enter to win at Sportsnet590.ca. Alex Anthopoulos next. Bobby Holik at 8:40. It's Brady and Lang on Sportsnet 590, the Fan.
The Fan. On demand. Now, more Brady and Lang.
All right, thanks, Greg. Jim.
On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Wilson's first pitch hit in the air toward right center field. Going back and watching at the wall. This ball is gone. So Adam Lind, first pitch swinging, drives one out of here off of left-hander C.J. Wilson.
An Adam Lind home run from the weekend, as you hear Alan Ashby call it. Jerry Howarth and Mike Wilner. We'll call Blue Jays Athletics tonight. Brandon McCarthy probably out of the gate as Oakland's best starter this year. Bartolo Colon's been pretty good also. But it's Jays A's tonight as Ricky Romero attempts to go to 5-0 and the Jays attempt to get back to winning ways. Two-game mini set in Oakland, afternoon game tomorrow, and then it's 4 in Minnesota before Toronto's back at the Rogers Center. Huge series next week against the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays. We're very pleased to be joined by the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays now, and Brady Lang. Mr. Alex Anthopoulos. Good morning, Alex. Thanks for this. We appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. Glad to be on.
We're all talking about Edwin and his phenomenal start. And I want to ask you, so many of us were dead wrong when he was re-signed. We're happy to be wrong. I wish we were wrong more often about some of the other teams in town. But anyway, Edwin's been fantastic. Let me ask you, did you have confidence all the way through the process, re-signing him after the 2010 season? Or is this a different Edwin even, Alex, than one that first got here with how impressive he's been, how he's seeing the ball, and how much he's hustling?
I mean, I guess the best way to characterize it is I always felt that he was capable of more. And we've all seen it. He's been very streaky throughout his career here, and he put together months at a time where he looked unbelievable, and then other times he would vanish for a month or two. So, he's always been a young player, though. I think he's only 29 now. He's had issues in the past with his wrist and slow starts and things like that. But the ability has always been there. For a power hitter, he doesn't strike out a lot. He's got tremendous hand-eye coordination. And he's someone that sometimes guys take a little bit longer to hit their stride. But he did have a very good season years ago with the Reds when he had 27 home runs. And he had shown us flashes of that. So if I felt like he was going to do it over 6 months or for the next 3 or 4 years, we probably would have done a longer contract than we did, realizing that, you're certainly wrong a lot in this job. We tried to hedge our bet and have it as a shorter-term deal, and obviously he's off to a great start for us.
Alex, I think a lot of Blue Jays fans are confused about Adam Lind and his lack of power, especially last year, even with his injuries, hitting 26 home runs. Is there some sort of simple solution to this? In your mind, is it more mental than physical that's hampering him?
You know what? I'm not sure. I think, last year, you look at the first month, he got off to a slow start. I think he had 22 at-bats in May. They were very good. Then he got hurt, I believe, with his back. And then he came back in June, and I think hit 9 home runs in June and had an unbelievable month. And at one point, I think, was leading the American League in RBIs with the way Bautista was swinging, and he was swinging right behind him. With Adam, it's tough to say. There's no question he's not off to the start that he wants to be off to. And we talked to him a little bit in spring training about maybe being a little more selective. His on-base percentage has been below 300 the last 2 years. And we talked about, that should be a little stronger, especially obviously in his year in 2009. He walked a little bit more and certainly had a lot of power. And he may have overdone it a little bit the first month and may have been a little bit too passive the first month trying to do some of those things. So he's trying to find the middle ground, maybe not be overly aggressive, because we noticed in the second half of last year, swung at a lot of breaking balls early in the count. So this guy's been a very good hitter in his career in the past. He's done it all through the minor leagues. He obviously, even in his down years, has still hit 25-plus home runs 2 years in a row. So we're trying to get him back on track, and hopefully May is the month that he finally does come back.
Ricky Romero goes against Brandon McCarthy tonight. Jays, A's right here, of course, on Sportsnet as well, and a 9:30 pregame for Jays Central on Sportsnet. Let me ask you about the division. You're focused on your own team, and it is still early. But we'd be remiss if we didn't ask. Boston's off to not a very good start at all. Some turmoil there. The Yankees lose Mariano Rivera. I'd be crazy if I didn't ask, do you see this as more of a window opening with these two powers in the division struggling than there might have been 5-6 weeks ago?
And I've actually been asked that, and I understand that when all these top teams lose their top players, obviously they're not as strong as they were coming into the year. And obviously, it can't hurt us from that respect, when those teams aren't as strong. But really, when you look at just one with the Yankees and Mariano Rivera, that's when everyone started to ask me about it. I think every team in the division this season has lost their closer, whether it's us with Santos, the Orioles for almost a week, I think with Jim Johnson. Obviously, the Rays lost Kyle Farnsworth out of the chute. Boston lost Andrew Bailey. So we all lost our closer. The Yankees bullpen coming into the season is arguably one of the best bullpens in the American League. So they're still going to be very good, and their offense is one of the better offenses. That I don't know that they're going to be playing that many close games because of the amount of runs that they can score. With Boston, there's no question they've been hit the worst. Obviously, a guy like Ellsbury going down, Euclid going down, though the kid they called up, Middlebrooks is off to a nice start, and obviously guys like Bailey going down and Melanson haven't been sent down. But these teams, what makes them so good is they have so much depth. Their lineups are deep 1 through 9. Their bullpens are normally very deep, and their rotations are as well. So it's going to be a dogfight, and I think the Orioles, the one thing that no one talks about them all that much because it's still early, but they've really improved their starting rotation from last year, and their bullpen's off to a great start. So there's going to be more guys getting hurt, but it'll be interesting, obviously, over the next few months to see who kind of stays in the race and who starts to fall out.
29 games into the season, Alex. The team's 3 games over .500, taking into account the aforementioned injury to Santos and some of the slumps by Lind and Bautista. Are you happy where the team is at this point in the season?
I mean, I think there's a lot more upside to this team. So you're never satisfied. You always, obviously, you want to be in first place. You want to be 10 games up or more, and then you always look back at the games that you could have won. But I think relatively speaking, there's been a lot of bright spots as well. I think the young starters have done a very good job. And again, that could change at any time because they are young. But, you know, we all know that the ability, and they all have tremendous stuff. And just like you said, we've done a pretty good job in terms of total runs scored in the American League with where we rank. Some of the other areas like on base percentage and slugging percentage and OPS and obviously things like that were not as high. And I think we've gotten some timely hits that have helped us out. So there's more upside to the offense. I don't think you can ask a lot more of the rotation. I mean, certain guys can continue to improve, but I think the rotation's done a good job. And, you know, the bullpen, for the most part, you know, we've obviously had some blown saves early, and hopefully that's just a one-month blip and that won't continue going forward. But the bullpen overall, I think, has done a pretty good job. So there's definitely room for us to continue to get better. We definitely haven't clicked over the first 29 games.
Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Blue Jays, kind enough to join us on Brady and Lang on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I would tell fans to temper expectations on Jose Bautista and power numbers. And I think this is a great player, a great hitter who does so much for you. But I hope it's not there out there that fans are expecting 93 home runs in 2 year cycles. Alex, you're a student of the game, and you know, man, we've had three or four guys in the last, you know, three quarters of a century be able to maintain paces like that, and a couple of them kind of have asterisks next to their name. Do you just look and say, if he's hitting the ball well, getting on base, all the numbers will come? But man, I mean, we just saw something magical the last 2 years.
No doubt. And I remember even when we signed him, obviously, you know, the backdrop of the negotiations were the number of home runs he hit. And it was talked about over and over again, and rightfully so. I understand if I'm on the other side of the table in negotiations. And obviously my counter to that was, it's hard to hit 40 home runs in a, you know, 2 years in a row or even beyond that. You know, and some of the great hitters, you know, I think Ryan Braun, you know, had a 40 home run season, hit 25 the following year. Prince Fielder at a young age had unbelievable home run totals. He dropped down to 30. You know, it's very hard to maintain that level of consistency, but what Jose does bring, the leadership in the clubhouse, being a great teammate, the tremendous on-base percentage, which we don't have a lot of, and we need to continue to try to improve that, and the very good defense in right field. So when you combine that, when we sign the player, you know, we talked about Jose being someone that, you know, 25 home runs and above, very good on base percentage, good defense, a leadership component, and obviously that's what we felt the floor of the performance was going to be. We knew there was upside to be 30, 40 home runs and a greater batting average and all those things, but that's what we felt that when we did sign him, that's what we were going to get as a floor. And again, he's just like anybody else. They go through slumps. You know, you look at Jeter last year, went through a rough time, and now he's off to a great start again. We've seen it happen in sports so many times, but the ability is there. His skills haven't diminished at all. Takes tremendous care of himself. He'll snap out of it and get on a roll. I don't know when, but there's no doubt in my mind that it will occur at some point.
Brandon Morrow getting the start tomorrow afternoon in Oakland. Alex, are you finally getting the sense that he's harnessing all that great natural ability into one package now?
You hope so, and there's no question that, you know, the last few outings have been encouraging. We've seen this before from Brandon as well, and, you know, not that he's the same as Encarnacion, but Brandon has, over his career, done a similar thing where he's put together strings, you know, months at a time that he's looked dominant and unhittable, and he's always had great stuff, and it's just a matter of being able to put it together. And, you know, though he's still in his mid to late 20s, he hasn't had a lot of experience as a starter. You know, was obviously a top-five draft pick, and was basically promoted to the big leagues in the bullpen and never really had the advantage of going through the routine as a starter, getting the side work, the bullpens, being able to work on everything. So he's really only had two full seasons as a starter. He's in his third. Same thing, when we signed him, we felt there was maybe one more gear he could get to and another level. And I'm encouraged that it's starting to come. And the ground balls have certainly gone up from years past. The strikeouts weren't there early, but they're starting to come back, and the stuff really looks great. So hopefully, you know, we're finally going to have a year where Brandon's going to come together and be one of the top starters in the AL.
Alex Anthopoulos, our guest for Featherlight Ladders, of course, Sportsnet 590 Blue Jays Insider. Real quick on Oakland before you go, a tricky team and a 500 team. A lot of people predicted disaster for them, but we mentioned McCarthy going today. He's been good. Cespedes has been great, and they just grab the Tigers, you know, wave Brandon Inge. They grab him, and he's been there, done that guy. He's going to give him versatility, defense, and just hit a home run yesterday as well.
Yeah, they always, you know, they obviously, everybody knows they've they've had some problems. They're trying to get a new ballpark from a resources standpoint. You know, they certainly don't have the opportunity to work with as many dollars as a lot of other teams in the league. But there's a reason Billy Beane's been as successful for as long as he has. He's very creative. He does a great job. And they continue to find ways to get better. And, you know, they have to get young players, build them up, and a lot of times, you know, trade them away and try to restock and get other young players. But they've done a very good job, and they've got some exciting young players on that club, and they've made some good trades as well. So they're not an easy team to play. They never have been. You know, one thing they've always had as a staple throughout the years is the ability to pitch, and it looks to be that way again. So it's a tough place for our players to play. It's a huge park, and it does get very cold at night. So we'll be in tough for the next two, but it's nice having Romero and Morrow going for us.
And Blue Jays off to Minnesota for four, then home big games at the Rogers Center against the Rays and the Yankees starting next week. Alex, thanks for this morning. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Really enjoyed it.
There's Alex Anthopoulos, our SportsNet 590 Blue Jays insider for Featherlight Ladders, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. We didn't get to get going on about the mighty Las Vegas 51s, who started 10-16. I was calling for massive firings all throughout the organization, either that or an earlier curfew, you know, because they have casinos there that I understand are open past 9 o'clock at night, and they've won six straight, so I'm going to shut up.
How do they keep them out of the casinos, even in the day?
I don't know. Nothing's better than date morning gambling. Oh, there's nothing better.
Little breakfast, some gambling. Little,
you know, cash your chips in by 10:30, already haven't made $100 or $200.
That's fabulous.
You need more OHL cities that have casinos.
Tell me about it. The only ones we get are those Ontario government-sponsored things.
When you do like an eerie wraparound trip, you got to convince Steve Spott, and you say, well, stay in Niagara on the way back. Or you got to work for a team that has a team a lot further away, so getting back's impossible in one day. That's a
very good point.
You're too centrally located.
I know. It's
for convenience. Mike Eppel joins us now. We're going to talk to Bobby Holik in just a sec on the NHL games last night. The Giroux suspension for this evening's game with Devils and Flyers. But Acura presents Zero Down, Zero Reasons to Look Elsewhere. Visit your Acura retailer to get Zero Down, Zero Security deposit on the 2012 MDX. Here's Mike Eppel from 680 News.
Hey, guys. Investors are placing their bets on a Greek exit from the Eurozone today. Market sharply lower as the odds of Greece exiting the Euro currency are increasing with political instability there. They've got like six or seven political parties all vying for control. None of them can reach consensus, so go figure why that doesn't work. Price for oil down for a fifth day. We'll see if that results in a lower price at the pumps later today. Gold is down $22 an ounce. The TSX on a four-day losing streak, could be a fifth day considering the early morning outlook today. And also a quick footnote on Minnesota Vikings future within Minnesota. Late yesterday, the House passed a plan for a $975 million stadium. Apparently the team would be on the hook for more cash in that program. It still has to pass the Senate, but apparently during the debate, which went on for something like 9 hours, Vikings quarterback Christian Ponder and various Vikings players and fans were all out in the rotunda chanting, "Build it," to the politicians. So I couldn't imagine Minnesota without the Vikings, but still a possibility, but it did clear a big hurdle yesterday.
And that guy with the giant Viking head who rides a motorcycle.
Ragnar.
Yeah, is that what he's called?
Yeah.
He's got a name? Interesting.
I didn't know. Yeah. Well, I'm sure he doesn't have a social security number.
I don't think they allowed him motorcycle into the building, but
yeah, he's a little bit of an oddball. He'd have to drive elsewhere, wherever the Vikings move to. I think he's part of the package deal with the team. Thanks, Mike. We'll get more tomorrow.
Thank you.
There's Mike Eppel, of course, from 680 News. Bobby Holik next. Holik on hockey.com over on Sportsnet 1. Getting it prepped for Milos Raonic against David Nalbandi in coverage of the Madrid Open on Sportsnet 1 all morning long, as it's a tough one out of the gate, but all the best players there. The last major tune-up before the clay of Roland Garros comes calling in the French Open. It's Brady and Lang, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Fan. On demand. Now, more of Brady and Lang.
You overpaid, Winnie! I detest you!
On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The other way. Henrik's had enough. That does not work. Three of them were in on the play. Sonny scores! Zobrist got over in front of the net, and there it was.
The Devils!
Dennis Zobrist popping right back up. Two big goals against the Philly Flyers. He'll try for more tonight as New Jersey doesn't have to travel far, but they got to travel into hostile territory to win Game 5. The Flyers will go without Claude Giroux tonight. If you're getting up Phoenix with a win, they advance, play the Los Angeles Kings. Tickets can be yours for $60, upper bowl. Can you find a flight for twice as much? $120 flight on a discount airline out of Buffalo.
I was going to say JetBlue, they have pretty cheap flights, don't they?
I don't know if you can get that cheap. And they have TV on board, too.
Which, that doesn't suck.
Live TV, JetBlue and WestJet. It's the only two I've found that have been like that so far. You got to check out our next guy's blog. We love having him on, a very astute and a great mind for hockey. Halik on hockey.com, our Sportsnet 590 insider for J.B. Goodhue. Bobby Halik joins us on Brady and Lang. Bobby, good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
We're pretty good. Now, this is setting up, right? Rangers, Devils. Your allegiance leans more New Jersey, but I'm sure you still have friends with the Rangers. They were pretty good to you over the years.
They were not many years, but they were very good, I have to admit. And it's setting up that way. But, you know, as we all know, we cannot, you know, talk about it until those both teams, they need one more win. And especially in the Rangers series, those wins are hard to come by, as we saw last night. So Devils, you know, logic would tell you it's going to be much easier. Claude Giroux's out because of suspension, but I wouldn't look at it that way. It's the both teams have to, I think especially Devils, they want to wrap it up as soon as possible because it always helps at this time of the year to have extra time off. But we'll see. That's why we watch these games, because we just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, and it turned on a dime last night with Washington. How did you feel watching Joel Ward take the penalty? And it just, especially because it was a double minor, it felt like it could really cost them. And there's no worse feeling getting on an airplane than probably how Joel Ward felt last night.
Yeah, it's. I don't want to say unfortunate, but you know, he's it's whatever, half a minute, 50 seconds left in the regulation. They're up one. It happens. It's a mistake, and it's a mistake that cost them dearly. And it's probably the way I look at it, it's very likely it's going to cost them the series, because yeah. I don't see you Capitals continue to come back like they have throughout this first, you know, five games. Because I think the Rangers are a better team. This is a huge confidence booster, and they're gonna go to Washington, you know, full of swagger, and because they pull out another win when they were down, and it's very demoralizing to the Capitals because they are playing. Neither team is outplaying the other, but both teams are getting the wins, but I think the momentum after last night is swinging to the Rangers' side.
Bobby, when you see Alex Ovechkin last night get over 19 minutes of ice time but doesn't get a shot on goal, how much of that is on the Rangers, what they're doing to him to sort of contain him? How much is that on Ovechkin maybe lacking swagger like you talk about?
Yeah, he's, you know, he's been battling. I mean, he's hitting, he's back-checking, he's blocking shots, but from your arguably best player, from your highest paid player, you need more than that. You know, he's not getting paid to block shots. He's getting paid like what he did. I think it was game four where he scores game-winning goals, or he contributes offensively. So I understand that as a player in the playoffs, you have to do it all, but he's doing it all except, you know, the offensive contribution. So even if he doesn't score, he needs to carry the puck. He needs to make things happen. He needs to draw the Rangers defenders to him and allow other players to have more open ice. And it's just not happening. It's big part of it is Rangers playing him well, and big part of it is he's just not performing the way he can or he has in the past. And you know, does he have good enough teammate line mates? And that's just in the playoffs. I just wrote about the Kings, and you know, you see Dustin Brown and Kopitar and Doughty and Richards. They just take the charge and they lead the way. You cannot expect for your team to elevate your game. You have to be the one who elevates the team's play.
Bobby Halik, our guest, the website and blog, halikonhockey.com. Let me ask you about Nashville and the situation with Radulov. Some people are saying this morning that they feel bad for the Predators, that they were hoping for more from Radulov. Others are saying that the Preds kind of got what they deserve. They took a guy who turned his back on the organization 4 years ago, comes back in after being in the KHL, a different level. It's a good league, but it's not the NHL. And they got what they deserved if they expected him to carry their team offensively.
Well, I wouldn't say they got what they deserve. You know, towards the end of the year, especially, you know, past the deadline, you expect every player who you have in your lineup, you know, on your roster, to really put the team ahead of anybody else, ahead of themselves or anything else. And what happened with Radulov or Kostitsyn, that's something that no general manager, no coach, no teammate will expect. I'm sure it has happened before, but it's very unusual. So to think that they should have known something like this is going to happen, or he's not going to putting his best effort towards the, you know, team benefit and all that. That's just kind of a Monday morning quarterbacking.
Sure.
I think when you bring players in and, you know, post deadline, all you're looking for is the best case scenario when they're going to perform at their best, and they all should. There's no better time to be at your best than, you know, going into the playoffs and in playoffs. And it's not only on the ice, it's off the ice also. So I thought that the Predators did the right thing because they've been doing their thing for 12 years. They've built this franchise up from scratch, basically, from expansion to annual playoff performing team. So the blame has to go on the players, where they just completely disregarded what the Nashville Predators stand for and what they try to accomplish. So, and I was very happy to see the Predators, Barry Trotz and David Poile, handle it that way, because they are sending a message not just for this year but for years to come that Nashville Predators are all about the team.
We should also praise Phoenix for winning the series in five games and coming as far as they have, considering everything that's gone on the last few years. But is there anything the Coyotes can do to stop the confidence in the machine that is the LA Kings in the next round, Bobby?
Well, it's not going to be. I think it's going to be a pretty close series. I don't think Kings will roll over Phoenix like they did over the San Luis Blues or Vancouver Canucks, because that team, I watched them last night. They're strong. They're, I don't want to say deep, but they look like they're deep because every player performs at their best. We were just talking about it. They are taking this opportunity, and it could be a lot, once in a lifetime, and nobody's letting the team down. Nobody's being a liability. So I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think it is, because as good as Kings are, the Phoenix Coyotes are a tremendous team. They might not have had, outside of Mike Smith, they might not have had individual performances like the Kings in the first two rounds, but as a team, I think they're just as good as the Kings. It's just ultimately it's going to be the difference where, you know, one individual has to dominate the game or the period to make the difference. And it seems like Kings have more players like that, but I'm looking at a long, tough series between the LA and Phoenix.
Bobby Holik, our guest, Holik on hockey.com. Now, here's something for you. How many times did you play? You went deep in the playoffs a lot, twice winning the cup, three finals. How many times did you play in the World Championships?
Twice, I think, early on in my career.
Early on. Because, yeah, the Czechs won it. I'm looking, they won it a bunch of years in a row, 99 through 2001. Is the perception accurate? This is what we get told over here. So I want you to tell me, being an elite and an international player, do you feel the European countries care a lot more about winning the tournament after they get there than the North American teams? Or is that just a perception that we have? The Olympics, everybody cares. But are the world something the European teams care a lot more about?
I think it used to be that you didn't have all the best players in National Hockey League when, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, or mid-90s, you know, there were some players who stayed back and played in the leagues, and whether it's Sweden or, you know, even Czech Republic or Finland. Now every player who's good enough comes to NHL. So I talked to somebody last night, you know, the players who are playing World Championships, most of them, I think their number one choice would be still playing in the playoffs. But, you know, they're not, so they're proudly representing their countries. But I don't think it has the same status as it once had at the World Championship, because, as I said, all the best players are now in the National Hockey League, and the ultimate prize is the Stanley Cup, because it's the toughest trophy to win.
And it's a fascinating take on that. Bobby, we appreciate the time this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's Bobby Holik, just a fantastic hockey player for many years, 1,314 games, Sportsnet 590 insider for JB Goodhue, Holik on hockey.com. I guess I was inferring, can we just make a rule that the Swedish, Czech, and Russian players all have to be out till 3 a.m. if our players are going to be there after games, not the night before a game, though.
So no matter what the team is, if you find out you get a ring in your room, you got to get up and go out to the club because those guys are out.
I want Brian Burke, when he's taking flights at 4:30 a.m., to see more players from other countries in the hotel lobby than just the good Canadian kids.
But that was just a conversation, nothing else, right? Just a nice conversation in the lobby, just hanging out at 4:30 in the morning, just happened to be there.
I don't think there was like a Wolfpack type speech. I don't think Burke cut his hand open and became blood brothers with Getzlaff and Perry over it. I think he had a flight to catch.
Maybe they just couldn't sleep, you know, a little bit worked up over the loss or thinking about the game ahead?
It's possible.
You know, sure.
Jeff Zammit is worked up. You'll hear him between 9 and noon. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 5:30. Don't forget, it's Raonic v. Nalbandian on Sportsnet 1 starting maybe in mere minutes. So keep your eyes open. Second match out of the gate at Arantxa Sánchez Vicario Stadium Court. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.